Hello, I'm Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine. Welcome back to our Mobility Management Podcast. And I'm joined today by Bill Paul and Matt McPherson, who are with me to discuss the challenges and benefits of operating a profitable service department. Bill Paul is the CEO of Atlas Technology and the co-founder and co-CEO of Atlas Fios. He has a 40-year history of founding and leading new businesses, including a CRT business. For the HME supplier, Bill developed Atlas Enterprise Software, the industry's premier ERP CRM software. Bill is also the founder of Telehealth Evals and Atlas Software, and his career has spanned several vertical markets, including aerospace manufacturing and career colleges. Matthew McPherson, ATP, is co-founder and co-CEO of Atlas Fios, as well as the executive director of the DMERT Group, a nonprofit that certifies service and repair standards. Matt has held many positions within the CRT and HME provider businesses for the last 20 years, including service and repair technician, CRT technician, billing specialist, and inside sales rep. Matt has developed more than 100 service-related courses for PTs, OTs, and long-term care staff in the United States and Canada. And our podcast today is sponsored by Atlas Fios. Atlas Fios is a business services unit that focuses on creating and or enhancing the client-patient experience with the ultimate goal of 100% patient retention for future patient equipment care, sales, and revenue generation. Using management's decades of education and experience with service and delivery, plus decades of provider experience in the complex rehab technology and home medical equipment industries, Atlas Fios works with the provider to develop business policies, efficient facilities, and effective technology tools, and to educate company technicians to become certified by DMERT as professional service technicians. Services range from a complete revamping of a provider service department to supplying the education, training, and knowledge needed for company technicians to become DMERT certified. Atlas Fios services are customized to the provider's business needs. So, Bill and Matt, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Lori.
Yeah, thank you, Lori. Happy to be here and to get a chance to discuss this great and important topic.
I agree. I think this is a great topic because today we're talking about service departments, and we're specifically asking this: can a service and repair department be profitable? When I hear at least some providers talk about their service departments, they describe them as a necessary evil. Like, well, we need to offer service to keep clients happy, maybe to keep referral sources and payers and clinicians happy. But those providers don't necessarily expect their service departments to be profitable. They kind of accept that their service departments are going to be a drain on other company resources. And I really think this is a topic for the entire industry because whether it's done well or poorly or just sort of in the middle, service impacts the overall success of the seating and wheelchair. So if a provider's service department isn't up to par, everyone on the seating team is likely to hear about it. They're likely to get complaints. And that includes even clinicians. So it just impacts everyone. So this podcast is sponsored by Atlas Fios, as I mentioned, but rather than just talk about your product, we're also going to branch out a little bit and look at the entire service department mindset more carefully. So is it possible to have a profitable, successful service department? Is that a myth? If it's not a myth and it can be possible to have a profitable service department, then how do we get there from where we are now? So Bill, I'm going to start by saying, prior to your current position as CEO of Atlas, you were a CRT provider for 20 years. And in fact, your family is still in the seating business. Very complex equipment for clients who really need everything to work optimally at all times. My first question to you, Bill, is when you sold your CRT business, your next venture was Atlas. And one of Atlas's segments is Atlas Fios, which is service department centric. So from a provider perspective, why was it so important for you to focus on improving service departments?
Well, thank you for the question, Lori. It is amazing that the industry has focused much of its attention on client acquisition as opposed to client retention. You'll find that many of the providers have tried to create relationships with referral sources and keep those referral sources coming with new clients. But then they forego the whole service and repair side of taking care of the clients. And then the referral sources actually get upset. And they will look for a provider that will provide those services to the client and support those clients. The equipment is a part of the everyday lifestyle of a client that needs it for their active daily living. And it becomes, particularly in complex rehab, their wheels. Without those wheels, they have no mobility. They become unsafe and are unable to continue in their relationships that they have both socially and economically. Whenever my wife and I exited the provider side of the business to focus on building products and services for other industry professionals, we exponentially increased the number of people we could help with the knowledge we learned by being a provider. The products and services of Atlas Files are used to build their businesses and now reaches thousands of clients every year.
Okay, so now that we've confirmed the importance of the service department, and I think you've made an excellent point in that, you know, we spend so many resources, don't we, trying to get new clients, you know, acquiring that business. But what do we do with it once we have it? So my next question would be, now that we've seen the importance of service departments, what should today's provider be able to expect from the service department? And for service departments that aren't currently pulling their weight, that aren't adding to the business's overall success, what key traits are holding them back? And I ask that because I think clinicians would also want to know what they can reasonably expect from service departments of the providers they work with. So what are those service departments that aren't up to speed, aren't doing their best, what do they have in common? And what can we reasonably expect from today's service department?
I think that in today's era, most of the service departments are not providing great service for the end user. And I think most clinicians would say across the country that there is a consistent lack of importance put on service. And so I would say that currently the expectations are that service are going to be delayed, inefficient, and usually below par of what most clinicians would expect. I think a lot of that has to do with the company's mindset of it not being a profitable part of their business and just not investing enough into that. And as Bill has spoken before, and as I can attest to it from my personal experience, that the service department can be profitable. It does take a certain type of mindset and dedication and investment to make it profitable, but it can. And once you get to that point of it being profitable, it can change the mindset of how the business operates. And that's really what we're trying to coach and show to these providers is, can you take this part of your business that was draining resources to creating resources? And that is where we're going to see a lot of that impact of turning around the service department to be able to service those customers in a needed time frame, appropriate staffing, all of that stuff that we're looking at as some of the major concerns, shifting towards being a lot more supportive to the end user, supportive to the clinicians, but ultimately supportive to retaining customers for the business and acquiring customers as they increase their service departments.
So Matt, I have a follow-up question, if that's okay. You're an ATP, so you know as an ATP, you have to take continuing education courses. You're constantly learning. That is part of your certification, and there's active investment in that. I mean, you have to invest in it. An ATP working for a provider or a manufacturer, you know, that company needs to invest in that time and really accept that if we want to keep great ATPs great, we have to make sure they get the education. We have to invest in that. So as part of the service department dilemma right now is that there's just not that same mindset for service departments, that providers aren't thinking, hey, I need to invest in service the same way I need to invest in my ATPs or the same way I have to invest in my billing and reimbursement specialists. Is there just not that focus? Is that part of the problem?
I'd say 100% that is one of the issues that we're facing. Being in the provider world for almost 22 years, there's been a very acknowledged position that the ATPs are getting the education and the support to go out and make sales, to go and do evaluations and bring in the new clients, and are seen as the marketing force. So a lot of the investment is put into the ATP, when the reality is your marketing force has a very big piece to do with your service department. And you don't notice that as much until you've been in the industry for a long time, worked with providers that had good service departments and providers that did not, to realize just how supportive a service department can be to your marketing of your business. And over my 22 years and two different countries of being an ATP, the biggest complaints I got was not on the ATP and how quickly the evaluation was, but the follow-up and the service. And a lot of that came from, again, that mindset from the provider side that I'm losing money on this end of my business, so I need to put more money on the front end that's bringing in business to balance them out. So they try to send out more ATPs and have more marketing on the ATP to get new sales rather than securing the customers they already have. And as Bill has mentioned earlier, that is one of the biggest pieces is if you can build a retention program for your consumer or your customer, you're going to build your generation of new customers as well. And when I would go into a referral source, they would have a new customer and the new customer would come in and they'd usually have three or four different companies that they could choose from if they weren't with a previous DME provider. And they would ask, you know, who gives the best service? Usually they're not asking who is the fanciest ATP, who has the best products, because we're all repping very similar products. But it's going to say, who's the best service department? Who's going to follow up with my equipment the best after I get that piece of equipment? And being in, you know, one of the companies that had a great service department in Portland, Oregon, I got a lot of referrals that way because we had such a good established service group that we were getting more sales on the front end. So it speaks volumes, I think, from a provider's side to invest in service and invest in following that consumer and that individual through the life of that equipment, rather than the feeling that they're just there to sell them a piece of equipment and then not care after the fact.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that a service department could actually be a differentiating factor in the decision-making process for who a clinician wants to work with, who the consumer wants to work with. So if after hearing that, a provider is now thinking, yeah, I want more out of my service department, I think we can do better, what then becomes the assessment process? Let's bring Atlas into it now a little bit. How do you determine if a service department is in fact reaching its potential?
So a service department generally has very little oversight and supervision from upper management. They generally leave that at the middle management level, and therefore the analytics aren't really used to perpetuate a good policy way of doing business. So best practices are always at the front end. And what we found as a provider is that we would be a good service provider, and then we would get that client from the other, you might call larger providers that don't really follow through on service. They will do the initial sale because they have the referral sources, but they won't have the ability to do the service. And if they do even try to do it, they might be weeks out before they can get to a client. And that client is then unsafe and unable to do their daily activities. So what we do with the Atlas software is we create a system that is a very methodical approach to providing the service, keeping up to date with the clients, making sure we establish a personal relationship. One of the key things we always did was provide a phone call to the client on their birthday. Now, many of our clients are secluded and unable to get out to a lot of other people. And just having a phone call from us to them on their birthday just created that personal relationship. And then anytime they needed anything, the Atlas software actually allows them to message us within the system. They have a client login portal that they can use to message the service department and say, my joystick is broken, I hit a wall, can you come fix it? And you need to be able to get out there in a couple of days at the most. They need to be able to have that equipment functioning at full capability up to manufacturer's standards. Otherwise, they are not getting what they bargained for whenever they got the equipment in the first place. So Atlas creates the opportunity for them to keep a personal relationship with the provider. The provider actually is able to keep the equipment in good working condition. Whenever the equipment is time for replacement, the provider that's taking good care of that client is going to get that next order.
And Matt, I wanted to ask about, do you have a formal assessment process? Every service department is a little bit different, I assume. And by that, I mean, not everybody is necessarily starting in the same place. So it's not like you can just throw kind of a blanket over it and say, well, this is what we do for every single service department we see. So is there like an assessment process, almost the way that you would look at someone, a new client getting seating or a wheelchair, you kind of do an assessment. Do you have something similar in place with Atlas Fios?
Yeah, absolutely. We found that, just like you said, no business is the same, just like no person is the same. Everybody's going to have a little bit of a difference between their unique culture of business, their service setup, their demographic or their geographical areas that they service. And so we look at this as a very consulting and package forming type of system. So we actually go in with a formal questionnaire first that walks through a number of questions that we put together that helps us evaluate what stage of business they're at, where their goals are, where they've put some of their investment so far within their business. And looking at some of the aspects that we get from the questionnaire, we then apply that when we go to a live on-site evaluation. And this is looking at the actual physical locations. We'd actually travel to their location. If they have multiple locations, we'll see all the locations to see how they're set up. And it goes from where their benches are, how many tools they have, how much parts they have, what's their inventory, reoccurring orders, what's their issues with billing, you know, time delays on getting technicians out. All of that stuff goes into our compiled data that we help with creating what the best package would be. And from there, we give a report that looks at a lot of their strengths that they've built as a business. What are they good at? Have they put some of those resources? And then where are there some weaknesses that we think could use some of those resources and some extra strengths? And some of that could be around staffing. So how can we hire some additional technicians, or maybe they have no one in the rehab management position. So we try to identify some of those weaknesses and then help with building them if they wish for us to come in and do that piece. So we have consultants that will actually work with them weekly, biweekly, whatever their needs are, to build in some of these structures and operate as some of their support systems until there's key people in the management positions to run those departments. But we also want to make sure that what we're building within this business is sustainable. So looking at Atlas or a version of Atlas for the service department, we want to ensure that this system that we're helping create is something that can be maintained within the current business and resources. And so we walk through all those different steps and show them how profitable their service department can be as we walk through that.
Here's my last kind of big question. I love that Atlas Fios is so customizable because, as you know, in complex rehab, and most mobility management listeners are in complex rehab, you can have two people come in, same age, gender, basic size, same diagnosis, and they can be vastly different in what they need. It just depends. And so, Matt, if I'm getting it correct, it sounds like you would look at two dealers. Maybe they do the same basic volume of business, but maybe they both are heavily into complex rehab. But maybe one is in a very rural area and they're telling you, you know, Matt, it takes us an hour to 2 hours just one way to get to someone's house. And then maybe you're talking about somebody else in a very urban area where everyone's closer. So you may look at two service departments doing more or less the same amount of business, maybe the same specialties, maybe the same number of employees, more or less, but it sounds like they could need very different solutions. So why is that so important, that ability to customize and to meet people where they are, and even taking into such things as the company culture? Why is that so important to be able to have that modular system for service departments that want to improve?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good question because it brings into the mindset of what is the focus of that business and where are they at today? And I think that when we do consulting with different companies, we find out that they are in different stages. Some have been established for a longer period of time and have certain habits. Some are newer to business. Some are looking to maintain their growth and just tighten up their efficiencies, whereas some are looking to grow. So as much as every business is a little bit different on how they started, where they're at, and where they want to go, we wanted to create a product that understands a business really needs somebody to come along and help them develop these certain pieces. And if we came with a cookie cutter, here's your ABC list, these are the products you get, it wouldn't really work for a lot of people because they really need that in-person, okay, you're great in this area, but you need a little bit more support in this area, especially when it comes to service, because it's so misunderstood and it's kind of left in the back corner. Not a lot of attention is brought to it. I think a lot of people try not to talk about service because they're concerned it will be complained about. So I think that the taboo service department or how to improve it really need that in-person understanding. We get where you're at, we get where you want to be, and here's some of the really developed steps to be able to get there. That makes it unique is being, from Bill and my perspective, being able to see these small pieces that would change a lot of their business that might not be viewable from inside the business. That really helps from an outside perspective that has experience in both companies that have worked well with service, but also companies that have not worked well with service, and seeing where these niches can be to change. So I think building a modular system is really the only way to do this kind of business and come into a company and do this consulting versus just here's one product, you know, kind of the one size fits none wheelchair, if you will, from the facilities. It just doesn't work. We need that custom individual back and forth to be able to make it work.
Okay, fantastic. And Bill, I'm going to give you the last word here. You clearly have a passion for service. It is not just something that is a necessary evil and something you have to keep around, so let's make the best of it. I mean, obviously, you really have a passion for it and you really think it's important. And it kind of sounds today like you want the service department to get its accolades. You want it to get the credit it deserves and you want it to be the best that it can be because it is so important. Am I getting that correct, Bill?
I believe you are. I focus on what the patient experience is. The client experience has got to be foremost in everyone's mind. If the client is having a bad experience and not enjoying having a relationship with you as a provider, you're not going to retain that client. And if we go back to the start of this podcast, we said acquisition is the focus of the ATPs. But the actual service department is the retention. I used to call it continuing the sale. So you have to continue that sale to continue that revenue and continue that client to be a loyal and dedicated client for your provider business. Whenever it comes to the service department itself, there are so many facets to what you want to look at, whether it's personnel, whether it's facilities, whether it's equipment. So as Matt and I will go into a facility, we will evaluate those, and one facility may have great equipment or a great facility, and the staff needs to be trained better, or vice versa. They may have great staff and the staff is well trained, but they don't have the appropriate equipment to properly service the patient's equipment. And then we get back to the patient experience. We want that patient to have the best possible experience that can be provided to them via all the nuances that we have in this medical industry with the payers and all the restrictions and other things that come into play. But the patient experience is foremost.
Thank you so much, Bill. And with that, I'll wrap up this podcast with Bill Paul and Matt McPherson from Atlas Fios and Atlas Technologies. But for more information on Atlas Fios or to reach the consultants at Atlas Technologies, visit them at www.atlasfios.com. Mobility Management Podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. And you can also go to our website, mobilitymgmt.com, to listen there. The best way to make sure you don't miss any of our podcasts is to subscribe. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back again soon.